Oh, really?
Oh, is he really? I didn't know that. Oh, okay. This is June 9th, 1992. This is Shirley Bradley, Lisa Fine. We're interviewing John Bowles, and we're at the Arioles Museum, and we're going to talk about real memories.
You want me to start?
No, we can ask you some questions if you want. To first start off with, we usually just ask some personal information. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, when you're born and where you're born, where your family's from, things like that, so we can get a sense of where you're coming from. So were you born in Lansing?
No, I was born in Mishawaka, Indiana. Oh.
Is that where you grew up, or did your family move here?
I grew up in Indiana, yes.
Indiana, okay.
Yeah. I came to Lansing in 1931.
Okay. And did you come up yourself or with your family? You came up on your own to get work?
I came up myself. I went to work for Loose Manufacturing Company.
What was that?
Loose.
Loose? Okay.
L-U-C-E.
L-U-C-E.
Yeah.
Okay. Manufacturing, which made commercial bodies.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I worked there for 7 years, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm. How old were you? Started right out of school? Right out of high school?
Yes.
Okay.
And
what kind of bodies did they make? Like truck
bodies? Commercial.
Commercial.
For like, National Biscuit Company, Ward Baking Company, Continental Baking Company, and the bodies they made.
Oh, for the trucks, for the delivery.
For the trucks.
Oh, okay.
And,
I was just curious. I hadn't heard of it, but that was interesting. Mm-hmm.
And that was right here in Lansing, Loose.
Pardon me?
Loose was right here in Lansing?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Used to call, it used to be Hugh Lyons,
okay.
Which was an old business factory in Lansing for I don't know how many years.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to work for Lewis when they started as commercial. Mm-hmm. As they general manager came from the body shop in Indiana, so okay. Loose Manufacturing, and of course he bought some of the key help.
Oh, I see.
And
so you had a connection and in.
Yes.
Okay. And what did you do at Loose?
I sprayed paint.
Uh-huh.
And for 22 years of that.
Mm-hmm. In the Loose.
No, he worked there for 7 years.
7 years.
7 years.
You worked for Loose for 7 years.
Yeah.
Where did you go from there?
Real.
Oh, you went.
Well,
to
no. Then I went. See, one more fish body. I worked there about 60 days, something like that. And that wasn't for me. Working on the lines over there.
It's too big. Too impersonal.
No.
Maybe the working conditions weren't real good.
They put me washing body just before they went in the paint. And was on what they call a utility game. You might do is just be here today and over there tomorrow and over there the next day and so on and such part. But that fish body wasn't for me. And then from then I just, a couple other little minor jobs I had, and I went to work for John B.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And I worked for them a short period of time, and then I went to Rio.
Mm-hmm. And you said when we talked on the phone that you went in 42 in Rio during the war? You worked pretty well during the 30s then. You stayed employed
I want to mean, after I left Loose, I went back to Indiana for a while and hung around there because all my family was, all my brothers and sisters and everything was there, and well, I went back there for a couple of years, I guess. And, you know, I was young.
During the hard times, yeah.
You didn't have any roots down yet, so you could. Yeah. What did your father do? Was he a farmer or?
No. He was a. Clerk in the store.
Oh.
Put it that way.
Okay.
But my father and mother had 10 of us angels.
10 children?
Ten.
My goodness.
They had 5 boys and 5 girls.
Oh, wow. My, what a wonderful family.
And, well, we got big enough. We went to work.
I can imagine to help out.
You better believe it.
Yes. So you came out of high school and kind of went right into a job. You graduated from high school?
No, I didn't graduate from high school.
You had to quit early,
away
maybe?
From school. My last year of school, I went right into a job.
Oh.
In Indiana.
In India first.
Yeah. I came up here, see, mm-hmm. See, in 1931, mm-hmm. Came up here.
Mm-hmm. The times were pretty bad in 1931. Right. Things were pretty bad in 1931.
Yes, very bad. Very bad. I knew fellows who would work in a factory for 5 cents an hour, 6 cents an hour, 10 cents an hour. And fellows with families.
And there was no real job security either, was there?
No job security of any kind, no welfare of any kind, and, you know, back in them days.
No unemployment, nothing like that.
No unemployment insurance, nothing like that.
Mm.
You just get by the best way you can come. Of course, there was 4 of us boys, it was at the time big enough to, old enough to work, you know. So, we got by all right.
Mm-hmm. When you were here in Lansing on your own in the 30s, did you stay in a boarding house or?
I boarded a room in a home, mm-hmm. In
yeah.
A private home.
In a home, I see. You got a room,
mm-hmm.
Like a lodger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you went to Rio, was it because they were advertising for help for the war effort?
No, I knew the fellow that was the foreman of the paint department. I got acquainted with him.
At some other job? Or just from social?
Yeah.
Socially.
And he called me and told me that they needed a painter and made his prayer. Well, I went over to Rio. Took me, oh God, I guess, 3 days, I guess, something like that. Sitting there waiting for that appointment guy, I didn't make his mind up.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no.
So he finally made his mind up and I took the examination. And
oh, you had to take an exam? A written exam?
Yeah. No, just a physical.
Oh, a physical.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were spraying army paint. And I worked with a working with an elderly man. I say elderly, I presume he was 60 years old from the country. And we'd be spraying away, and all at once, we were spraying what the paint they call OD.
Olive drab?
Olive drab. And it would accumulate down here. All at once, that accumulation would get smoking and burn.
Oh my.
Well, we just stomp it out like that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God.
Hot feet.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been too comfortable to stand there and work in front of that.
Well,
what caused it to catch
it? It's a wonder it didn't.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, you know,
it is
I mean.
Amazing.
So, Then they eliminated that phase of it. They had changed it and everything. They eliminated that phase, and they didn't have any use for me there anymore. So I was trying to think after I talked with you about where I went. I went to some other department. I can't think what department it was.
Do you remember the name of the man who got you into the paint department?
Pardon me?
Do you remember the name of the man who got you into the paint department, who was your supervisor? No. Do you remember how much you made when you first started at Rio in 1942? You know? Okay.
No, I'm not right.
Probably wasn't very much.
No.
Maybe 80 cents an hour, maybe, or
that's about the range, 65 to 80, that we've been getting.
Well, what I mean, all. In all my time from working, I always made money. Mm-hmm. I was making 50 cents an hour, and the majority of the other ones was only making about 30, 35.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, back in those days, 50 cents an hour was good money.
Good money, sure.
So I don't remember how much they were paying when they hired him there. But I was trying to think where I went someplace, some other department. And I worked there for a while, and I went into the Navy Division.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were in the Navy Department. What did you do there?
Well, I went in on inspection. And after, I don't know, 6 months, something like that, I went on supervision. But I was on supervision all the rest of the war. And that's why I was never drafted, because I kept getting deferments from it.
Oh, because you were doing this
essential
supervision,
yeah.
I say.
Essential, what I mean, they said I was essential.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Part
mm-hmm.
of the war effort.
And
yeah.
every time my deferment was up, I'd only tell the appointment man, don't send in another one, because I'll go and take my chances with the rest of them.
Uh-huh.
He said, that's all right. He said, we're going to send it in. He said, if we can get a deferment for you, you'll stay here.
If we don't, you're in the Army.
He said, if we can't, he says, you can just take your rear end and go to the Army. But that's the way it went. See.
When you were on inspection in the beginning there, what were you inspecting? The trucks as they came down the final line? Or
bomb fuses.
Oh, that's right. That's what they did in the Navy Department.
The Navy Division.
The bomb fuses. That was bomb. That dangerous? Was it dangerous?
Well, it was parts of the bomb fuse. It wasn't a complete bomb fuse.
Okay.
The automatics and the lays and this and that and everything was all involved in making these things. Mm-hmm.
Each area would do something different on that fuse?
Yes. Yeah. And of course, then I was on inspection, see, and then we had the military ordnance people.
Oh.
After we inspected the material, after it came off of the machine floor, then it would go into the Army ordnance for their inspection.
We've heard some complaints about that from other people.
And if they passed it,
mm-hmm.
well and good. If they didn't, he brought it back and went all over it again.
Oh.
And found out
what was wrong.
Segregated the bad part from the good part. Mm-hmm. Some of it was good, some bad. You know. So, but we had sometimes quite a session with that one.
Right, that's what we've heard from other people.
And then again, what I mean is he treated them just right, you know what I mean. And you had to make them think they were the kings.
Oh, even though sometimes they didn't have as much training, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
They didn't always know as much about those parts as you knew, probably.
That's right. And something that we knew that was a little on the shady side, we soft soaked them up like that, and we put that stuff right on through. You know, you just use the stuff there.
Use your mind, use your brain.
So, all in all, we had a lot of.
Were there very many women working in the Navy Department assembling those bomb fuses?
A lot of women.
Did they have any difficulty that you recall being women in the shop in the man's place? I've been reading about their problems trying to get equal pay and trying to get recognition and one thing and another.
No, that all started after the war.
Oh, basically after the war.
For the ones that wanted to stay, yeah.
I see, okay.
That's, I had a crew of women working for me on inspections in the Navy Division.
Hmm.
And of course, we was on the swing ship, and 4 weeks, 12 to 8.
12 to 8, night time.
So your ships were in four-week increments.
Were these women mostly young?
Pardon me?
Were they young women, or women
with
kids, young women?
Some of them were young.
A bit of everything.
Middle-aged, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Very, very conscientious.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this for the women during the war. They were good workers. They were, you know.
Did a good job and.
No, just a good job as.
Absenteeism wasn't.
No.
A factor.
No. Absenteeism. I guess from what I could hear from other places, the absenteeism was quite high.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in other areas of the plant?
Well, other plants.
Oh, other plants.
Other plants.
Uh-huh, okay. That's interesting. I remember seeing when I was a child, there used to be, the Rio would get the big E flag that would be flying out there on the Baker Street side. What was that for? Doing meeting their production during the war, or
I don't remember.
Maybe having a good record of turning out good parts. Maybe.
I guess that's what it was. I don't remember.
It seemed to be something they were quite proud of. My mother came home and was quite excited about having that flag up there.
But then after the Navy Division, after the war, why they kept all of us supervisors on for about a month, I guess it was, cleaning up all the odds and ends, and we kept them, we were automatically done.
With the war work, yeah.
So I just took about, September, I took for the first of the year off.
Did you go back to Indiana again?
No.
This time you were in Lansing.
I was in Lansing and stayed here. Of course, I was married by then.
Oh, I see.
I was just going to ask. Had your family maybe started?
So.
You didn't meet your wife as one of those war workers, huh? You didn't meet her on the shop floor.
No, she worked. She worked at Bishabati.
Oh, okay.
Oh, she did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you married a Michigan girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, took the rest of the year off, September to 1st of January, came back and went into the employment, or the employment man.
Nothing.
Put me to work, right away.
Oh, at Rio? So you hired right back in again.
Sure, because I maintained my seniority and everything, you know.
Oh, you could keep your seniority even though you had taken off a few months. Oh, that's interesting.
And
so you started back in 46.
Pardon me?
You started back in 46 then, right at the first of the year, 46?
Yeah, I guess it was about 46.
Because the war was over in August of 45, right. So
yeah,
that would be about right. So, wasn't that about the time when some of the strikes started occurring, the steel strikes and the, or was that a little later? I remember being
46.
Steel strikes and coal strikes and railroad strikes.
What I mean, the strike started in the 30s. They were doing some striking in the 30s. And I think the sit-down strike they had at Rio was in the 30s because they had that while I was working on Loose Manufacturing Company.
And you remember it?
Mm.
So,
Do you remember that? Because it was a big event in Lansing, the big strike at Rio?
Yeah, it was a big event. All of them, I don't remember how many of them was involved on the setting part of it. And
it went on for a whole month, too, for a long time, they said.
Well, I wasn't involved in it, so
right.
I really wasn't paying too much attention. You know.
I wondered about the Lansing, the Labor Day.
Oh, the Labor Day.
Did Luce, where you worked at Luce, when they had that Labor Holiday Day, did your people go out that day, or?
But, well, me, they went out.
Well, everybody went out. What did you do, or did you...
We were on final checkout for commercial bodies, and we were over in the north end on that old auto body. You don't know where the auto body was?
No, I'm interested in knowing though.
Well, you know, on Grand River, where the or Turner and Grand River?
Yes.
Well, that used to be one building. Turner that down Turner Street.
Okay.
And that used to be the old auto body.
It was called the auto body.
And Loose Manufacturing Company had rented space there for final checkout and stuff.
Okay.
And of course I was on supervision and, you know, when they call that strike, boy, the old telephone rang in the morning and the general manager says, get them people out of there and get them out of there right now and keep them out.
Oh,
my. So they were locking them out.
Did you have any idea why he, or did, because he said it until you did it?
So they got out. Well, that's all right. We went across the street and drank beer and ate sardines, I guess.
Sardine sandwiches. That's cute. We've talked to different people that remember that day, and some of them have said that they hung around for a while, and some of them went home, and some of them went here or there, and they said they remembered seeing all the traffic came to a standstill downtown, and there was that group that marched out to the college and then got thrown in the river and
by the students.
Yeah.
Well, the crew I had over there, I mean, they did. They wouldn't get involved in it, no way.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go downtown or anything else. They just went until
it blew over, basically.
Until they had enough beer and then they went home.
That's <fun. laughs> When you went back in January then, was that when the model changeover started from war production, from Army trucks to civilian trucks?
Mm, yeah, they were changing over.
Did that take a while to affect changeover?
Yeah. Of course, what I mean, it was building trucks at Rio, and it didn't take them too long to change over.
Would it have been basically almost the same kind of truck, same body style and whatnot?
Maybe a few more colors than all of drab, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know what color real trucks were. Did the various colors, I suppose.
Various colors. Red, white, green, blue.
Whatever anybody ordered or...
whatever they wanted.
Is that where you went back to the spray, to the painting department?
No.
Right now?
After I got out of that spring pain, I stayed out of it.
So you went back on supervision again? Were you basically in the same... What happened to the Navy Department? Did it just completely empty that part of the building out and put something else in there, or what did they do with it?
They ceased all operations there, and they put machinery in there. They put some of the lawnmower in there.
Oh, yeah,
and,
okay.
They utilized the floor space.
Now, that part of the building, would that have been at the south end, maybe toward the Washington Baker corner?
It would have been to the west end of the building. Washington Avenue, or north and south.
Right.
And the building faced Washington Avenue, which would be the west end of the building.
I see.
That's where the Navy Division was.
Mm-hmm.
And that run back down Baker Street. Oh.
Down toward First Aid or something?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, about halfway down there.
Yeah.
So then that became the lawnmower division, that space, afterwards?
Well, no, not the whole thing. No, I misunderstood you. The lawnmower division was in what they called 700 building and 600 building. And then the press room was to the back end of the lawnmower.
Oh, okay.
Or even the back end of the Navy Division.
So
it's the press room, that's where they formed all fenders and what have you, and heavy presses. So.
Being on supervision then, I was thinking about the unions and that, and how that was all working, but of course being on supervision, you wouldn't have been part of the union, would you?
And what was the department that you were supervisor in when you went back in 46?
I think you...
Are we confused? Are we confused?
Now? I didn't go on supervision when I went back.
Okay.
Oh.
I went back inspection.
Inspection.
Okay.
If I said I went on supervision, I misunderstood.
Okay. So you were still on inspection like you were during the war.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was it? What were you inspecting this time?
I went down the mortar plant. They sent me down the mortar plant on inspection.
Mm-hmm.
I was inspecting five wheels and cam shafts.
Okay.
And I didn't like that mortar plant no way.
Oh, why was that?
It was a low ceiling, no ventilation.
Oh.
And all that smoke from the machines. Mm.
Hard to breathe.
If I'd have had to stay there, I'd have quit.
Mm.
I wouldn't have stayed there.
Would have been healthy.
Yeah.
I see.
So I got shopping around. And they were just starting the lawnmower division at that time. And one of the fellows told me they needed a paint sprayer over in the lawnmower. Okay, I was over in the lawnmower. got a job.
Oh, well, you had experience.
How long did you stay there doing that?
Until they went out of business.
Until 76?
No, I think it was...
75?
When they sold out. They sold out the doors for 1955. Sometime in
from the lawnmower division.
Oh, yeah. So they quit making the lawnmowers then. Oh, I see.
They sold it to Duratherm.
Yeah. Oh. So the real lawnmowers weren't made after 55.
Not in real.
Mm-hmm. Not in the real itself. What did you do then after the... Oh, did you quit or leave the shop then in 55? No?
What did I do then? I guess I went back. I go back on inspection and I go up and export. I think I went up and export. I was up and export for a year, I guess. And then they shut that down. And then I went into Central Stores.
What did you do in Central Stores? What was that?
Tool issue.
Oh, like tool crib, sort of. Oh, okay.
And from there, what did I do? Did I go from there? I went back to material control. I went into material control.
And what was that like? What did they do in that department?
Well, that was like stock, material control. You might be out on the floor and moving stock, and you might be in a stock room, and so on and so forth.
Making sure that everybody had enough of what they needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm,
okay.
And, then what did I do? I don't know. then I went into service parts. And I worked in service parts for quite some time. And then I went into military service parts expediter.
Mm-hmm. This is already in the 1960s, marked by the 1960s, or still the late
50s? The last 10 years I was there, I was service parts expediter.
Okay.
Well, I retired in 71, so I'll probably
61.
Be about 61, 62, something like that.
Okay.
Before time I got upstairs in the office and so on and so forth.
And that's where, for this last job, you were up in an office?
Yeah.
What was military expediting?
Well, military expediting was, they sold military parts to the federal government for all the trucks that they built. And they would take a bid on so many camshafts, say 500 camshafts. And other people were bidding at the same time.
Are there other companies?
Other companies. And the lowest bidder then got the contract. Well, then they would send it to a packaging firm to be packaged to military specifications, like so on. Rust proofing and this and I don't know.
Oh, I wonder what you meant.
So much in that military packaging so much hook and poker
that they need to have.
Then we dealt with all the Army bases, practically all the Army bases in the United States. What I mean, if they, I'm ahead of myself here, but all these parts that the government bid on, they would go into a military warehouse, and then they would be distributed from there.
Oh, okay.
See, but if some military installation had to have 3 camshafts right away, well then they would call us.
I see.
We check, we had them in stock, okay. We'd get them out, ship them. They'd place an order, and we'd ship them.
So it's for very special, quick needs that the military has. And so you had to know a lot about the cars and what the different parts were and what the military would need specifically.
Yeah, it was fun.
Kind of interesting, was it?
Pardon me?
Was it kind of interesting, or?
Oh, sure.
Something
day was different.
Yeah,
probably.
Something
every
really
day different.
Yeah, all the component parts of the truck, the cabs, fenders, hoods.
Whatever they needed.
The whole ball of work, you know what I mean, and the wheel, drum, they're just all parts to the truck. It was supposed to be remembering all of military symbols.
Oh. So you had all that that you had to know.
Yeah, it helped a lot if you knew it.
Did they change their symbols very often?
No.
Yeah. I just got to wondering if you'd learn one whole set.
Never changed that.
I could see a new general coming in and saying, out with the old and with the new, you know.
No.
I was surprised to learn that Rio trucks are still being built out in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Mm, that's right.
The Rio Giant?
Yeah, that fellow bought, I don't know, 2 or 3 patents.
Yeah, he only makes
two or three lines.
Yeah.
That's all he makes.
Mm-hmm.
See, Rio, every time they come out with a new one, they'd have a patent on that.
Oh.
And then when they went bankrupt and sold all that stuff, well, all the blueprints and everything goes with that patent.
Okay.
So when a man bought a patent, he had the blueprints, you know.
Right. Kind of all rights to producing
that.
All
he had to do was set up machinery and start running.
Mm-hmm. Were you there at the Rio at the... When did you retire?
I retired in 71.
Oh, you were there before... I mean, you left before the bad stuff.
5 years.
Did you kind of know that was going to be happening?
It didn't look good to me, for one thing.
Didn't it?
No, it didn't. The way things were going, it didn't look good. But that wasn't the real reason why I retired.
Mm-hmm.
I was 62 years old at the time. I had 28 and a half years of service, and I figured that was enough.
That's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
In your shop.
So I just...
So when you retired, you got your pension
that
the folks didn't get in 76 when it went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. They all got pension all right, but they all got hurt very bad in their pension. Especially the ones that went out 30 and out.
Oh, yeah.
And I know some of those fellows was drawing $600, $700, $800 a month pension. one fencing grind, he got through with them. They've been drawing $100, $75.
Boy, that's rough. Especially when you've worked all your life to get to that point where you could retire and have money to live on.
I lost $7.
Oh.
And I didn't make no issue out of that.
No. $7?
No. Yeah. $7 wasn't going to make me really going to break me.
No, no, I wouldn't say so. Did you, how many children did you and your wife have?
Two.
Two. Boys?
One girl, one boy.
Oh, one of each kind. So neither one of them went on into factory work or worked for the...
No, my son, he worked over to Fisher Body, I guess. Well, I got him a job here at Real, and he worked about a month there. They got a job over to Fisher Body. And he worked over there for about a month, I guess. And he said, this ain't me.
Factory
so
work wasn't
for him. He cast around, and we enrolled him in Michigan State. Come home one night. He said, I joined the Marines.
Oh. Oh, you must have been a little surprised. You had no idea. Oh, golly.
So we done everything we could come to talk him out of it. And I'm happy that we didn't talk him out of it.
He had a good experience?
He was selected for Officer Kennedy School.
Oh.
When he finished school training, he was selected to go for Officer Kennedy School. But no, he wasn't, because I mean, that was enlisted in another year and so on and so forth. He just finished that military, that Marine training out there. Mm-hmm. So he went through the ranks and he got on the, they sent him down to Pensacola, Florida. They sent him to Memphis, Tennessee. They sent him to Columbia, South Carolina for education purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We went down to the Marine Training School for Officer Academy School.
In South Carolina?
No, Virginia.
In Virginia. Quantico, maybe?
Quantico, that's what I was trying to, yeah, Quantico. Graduated out of there, high honors. And he went to Lansing Community College a little bit. He went out there a little bit to the college, to Michigan State. He was going right on through, and these fellows had 4, 6, 8 years college.
Mm-hmm.
They was falling by the wayside. And we went down to Quantico for his graduation. It was quite an affair.
Yeah.
But he ended up captain. So we tried to talk him into picking augmentation, but he just, the last year that those boys had to put in was overseas. That was compulsory.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, when he was overseas, he got awful bitter about the Marine Corps. And that's two of his buddies. He was in the air wing of the Marine Corps. And two of his buddies, they sent to Vietnam. And they were both killed. before their eyes got to grief. Both of them shot down and killed. Of course, they were in the air. And he said there was absolutely no rhyme or reason to send those two boys over to Vietnam. Get off of there. But he wouldn't listen to augmentation. Until it was too late, then he started waking up. Well, I'm waiting on Vietnam down and everything, you know. He would never tell us or anybody else what he actually done. He was not classified as an aviator or a pilot. And I think he was photography and map reading and stuff like this. So, but he's a good boy.
Does he live here in Lansing?
No, he lives in California.
Oh, so you get out to see him sometimes.
Every 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
He has three boys.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. His wife and our daughter-in-law and the three grandsons will be here about the 25th of this month.
Oh, you're looking forward to that then.
Yeah, for a few days. And we go out there occasionally and just bail and drive. And now we fly.
Well, it's a little less wearing, yeah. Isn't it? That is a long way.
About 4 days difference.
Oh, sure.
And time.
Did you buy your own house here in Lansing? Yeah. From the beginning, did you buy one when you first got your job in like in Rio, or did you save up for a while?
No, after Rio.
A lot of people we've talked to that worked at Rio bought or rented houses and lived fairly close to work, so a lot of them walked back and forth to work.
No, I never lived that close to it. Mm-hmm. I never loved the job, though.
You think Rio was a good employer, though? You thought you were treated fairly and got a good wage there?
I did. I know a lot of fellows didn't, so. But I've always been a person of, you have a right to your opinion. I have a right to my opinion. You have a right to express your opinion. I have a right to express my opinion.
And that was the philosophy of the company too, wasn't it? I mean, the company let that kind of had that kind of philosophy too with its people.
Yeah, I guess they did. I've always said I have a right, whether I'm right or wrong, but I have a right to express my opinion.
And then they can do whatever they want with it.
They can take it as they mm-hmm. see fit. Mm-hmm.
That pretty much sounds like the American way of thinking.
Yeah. Well,
I think we all kind of feel that way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. A lot of things I don't wholly uphold that mm-hmm. they're doing today. And
Rio had a lot of different kind of programs for the people who work there.
That's
like
right.
The clubhouse and movies and things. Did you and your family take advantage of those?
Sure, the old Rio clubhouse. We used to go there and then movies. Well, I worked at Moose Manufacturing Company.
You still go?
Oh, you could go when you worked there?
Sure.
Did you have to show any identification? Just
no.
You weren't one of those people we heard about that sneaked in, were you? We were interviewing somebody and they said they were, when they were children, they used to sneak in.
Well, just put it this way, I got in.
Yeah, good. They had company picnics and things too, didn't they? Yeah. Did you go to those, you and your wife and your children?
No. I wasn't married yet at that time.
Oh.
I was still young and foolish.
Oh, okay.
So you socialized.
Yes.
Did you take any kind of training courses, or did Rio give you any kind of opportunities to have training courses for your job, or when they move you from job to job, someone would just say, this is how you do it, and
they'd show you how to do it.
And you'd learn on the job.
That way, when I was on supervision, hire a new help, I'd show them how I done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you how I done, or how I do it. And if you figure that you can do it any differently and do it as good and maybe faster, you go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. Just because I do it this way, that's what I'm saying. You have to do it this way. Mm-hmm. But that's what I always told the help. New help, you know, mm-hmm. the IRS. First, any other question in your mind about anything, find out. Don't go ahead and assume.
And ruin a part or something.
Make sure.
Yeah.
Then that can get expensive.
Mm-hmm. From what you've seen, did your own experiences, did the supervisors and the men that worked under them, the foreman and the men that worked under them, have good interactions with each other? Did they all communicate well and cooperate and everything? Yeah. Just from what you saw, you know, you can't speak for the whole plant, obviously.
Well, the ones down the motor plant with the truck buying assembly and stuff like that. He wasn't around it all the time, and
right.
He didn't know, you know, anything about it. And,
I'm remembering a name from, well, from when my mother worked there, but also from some of the people we've interviewed. Claire Laudenslager. Did you know Mr. Laudenslager?
Very well.
I'm trying to remember what I remember by him, that he was a good man to work for, but he had his ways of doing things.
That's right.
I've forgotten, what was his, was he a... I've forgotten his position, what he was.
Plant manager.
Plant manager, that's right. That's good, Shirley. I wouldn't
remember
that one.
He started in the Navy Division, and he was drafted. He came back after the discharge from the Army, and he went in and anyhow, he kept putting on supervision. The first thing you know, he was superintendent. And the next thing you know, he was a plant manager.
Just kind of went right up the line, huh?
Yeah.
Was he a good man to work for, do you think?
Yes, I think he was. He was, like everybody else, he was trying to be human about everything, you know. And of course, a lot of them, well, I mean, they detested the floor he stood on, but... that's human nature.
Oh, sure. Not everybody's going to agree.
That's right.
A lot of the fellows that, when you mentioned him going in the service, which made me think about a lot of the fellows that left the Rio to go in the service, did they all have their jobs when they came back? A lot of them came back after the war? And then the women left to make room for, some of the women left to make room for the men. What, do you recall any problems about the women having to give up their jobs?
I didn't have any problem with them.
I was just curious about that.
Yeah.
The ones that you had contact with.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were in Rio for 28 years, you said.
Yeah, 28 years.
Were there a lot of changes in the shop, the way work was done in the shop in those years? About, you know, automating it, making it more efficient, and things like that?
They were like everybody else. I mean, as progress went, the improvements got.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, well, it had to.
It didn't always make the workers' job better, though.
Sorry, some of it didn't.
Some of it did. Some of it did. Yeah.
No, it was a very unfortunate thing that Real went bankrupt. I've always said that it was a put up job by Whitemore Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think so?
What I think. What happened is two different things, so.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of different stories depending on where the person was when it happened, you know.
I think the majority seemed to feel that it could have been avoided.
It could have been.
Yeah.
We've talked to a few people, but.
We all know that the upper echelon will. We all know there was mismanagement there.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that they sold this, Whitemore Corporation sold this reel to this caper for $16.5 million. All on paper. And right at the same time, we had about a $25 million inventory.
Mm.
So I haven't found anybody yet that can tell me that you're going to sell me something that was worth $500 for $1.75.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I haven't found that person yet.
But that's what happened.
And that's why I say Diamond Reel was the biggest competitor of what Motor Corporation had.
So I wanted to eliminate them.
I've heard that those were good
few
trucks.
2 years later, a bank of White Motor Corporation went belly up themselves.
Yeah.
Went bankrupt.
Hmm.
If it hadn't been for Dalvo, they would be out of existence a long time ago.
Hmm.
When Dalvo truck come along. And
What truck?
Valvo.
Valvo. Oh, Valvo. Like Volvo and VA.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard of that company.
Hmm.
That's my opinion.
Sure.
That's what we're here to listen to. Were there also changes in the shop in the 28 years of the kind of people that worked there? Besides the women being in there, were there...
Well, some of the women stayed.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. The women came in and they stayed after that. Were there other changes that took place in kinds of people that worked in the shops starting from the 50s and 60s?
No, not too much.
Okay.
Not too much.
Okay. Mostly people from Lansing and the area around Lansing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, it changed, you know, they changed management and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
The hierarchy ones.
Mm-hmm. But the employees mostly were local until they started getting all the buyouts and everything. Yeah. And family people, like it had always been people with families.
Yeah, that was one thing about Real. I mean, that was a family affair. And, I've heard people talk that their dad worked there and their sons worked there and everything, you know. And, wasn't a sweatshop like Fisher Body and General Waters.
I suppose because it was a little smaller, you get to know more people.
Oh, sure.
But it seemed like more relatives hired
in
there.
In my time here, I when I was on material control, I imagine I knew just about everybody that worked in Rio.
Because
I was on, I chased stock.
So you went all over.
And I was all over.
Yeah.
And some of the fellows what I mean, I'd go up to them and they'd be sub-assemblies. And I'd go up to them in the morning, I'd take one look at them and I would know whether to say, good morning, sir, or something else.
You could sense how things were going to be.
So, you know what I mean. But after I went up in the office, then I had a lot of contact with everybody.
Yeah.
I see people today, what I mean. I knew and everything, but I haven't seen them for maybe 10 years. Every once in a while, I might come up and say something to me that I haven't seen for 10, 15 years. And take a look at them. I can realize that I should know them.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you their names, see. I'll stand there looking at them, looking at them, and they'll finally say, well, you don't know who I am, do you? And I'll say, hell no.
I guess I'd like to go back for just a minute and talk. Lisa mentioned changes over 28 years. I'm wondering, safety-wise, did you see changes in the safety for the worker on the job?
Yeah.
When you started out, were things not maybe as safe or as clean for the worker, or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I say, spraying that paint, that stuff burning down there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could have went like that. But,
isn't that amazing?
That was eliminated. They knew they had to eliminate that.
Mm-hmm.
Eliminated fast. That's all they did. But they were safety factors. And, I don't think that the Rio had too big of a group of people that was on medical leave or anything like that that got hurt during the plant. Occasionally they'd have one. Yes, there's no question about that. Wasn't a whole bushel basket up all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the machines weren't as unsafe maybe as...
No. Some of them should have been jumped out 10 years before, but nevertheless they were still operating. And so they were like all the rest of the company. Undoubtedly trying to get the last piece there all the time, you know.
Keep the expenditures down, maybe, for buying new machinery. I've heard, too, that the building itself in some places wasn't too safe. The floors may be quite old.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Some of them old buildings, what I mean.
Impress people in positions that could help you.
Right.
You feel you did that in your 28 years that you worked your way. You were given the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And you can't do that in a lot of different places.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can do it, but it's a pretty hard
it's
job.
It's harder.
To do it.
Yeah.
So
that makes a big difference, and the attitudes that you have to the company. You feel
that's
like
right.
You get something out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Different, you know, different young people working for me, and you know, if you see one of them, his attitude was changing, not for the best.
Oh.
If you know, if you could talk to him a little bit, and kind of get us back on square again, and.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them listen to you, some of them wouldn't.
Did the old timers give you lectures like that when you started?
No, I knew all about spraying.
So they knew they couldn't fool you. We talked to one gentleman who started when he was a young kid, right out of 8th grade or 9th grade, and he said the old guys that worked there wouldn't show him how to do anything. They kind of were maybe afraid for their own jobs. Here comes this young kid, you know. And he said, I had to learn everything myself.
The hard way.
Yeah. And nobody would show him how to do anything.
Some of those old-timers was that way. Well, I mean,
kind of natural. I can see why they feel threatened.
I knew a fellow that worked in export. And it got down to where they was going to quit packing and shipping exports. Shipping exports was to Turkey and foreign countries where they had big dealer, they had a big dealer in Turkey. And this one fellow says, that's all right, let them shut her down. He says, I don't care. He says, I got all of this stuff in my notebook. And he says, when I leave, he says, that's leaving with me.
Oh, no.
I thought to myself, well, that is a very, very poor attitude for anybody to have. Because periodically, they paid him to get that knowledge.
Right.
They paid him to even write it down in this book.
Right.
Why should he feel that way? But I
very selfish for him.
I never went for that stuff. Never went. Like I said before, anytime they're breaking a new person in, I tell them how I done it. They can do it better, quicker, more powerful.
You gave them the basics. And
that's right. Mm-hmm. You know, or both of you should know, there's no two people does the same thing alike. Maybe I shouldn't say there's no, but I probably should say there's very few people.
Well, because we're all individuals and we all have our own way of whatever experience we bring to that.
Obviously not when you were working in the office, but before then, were you, you weren't a member of the union or anything? Oh, you were a member of the UAW.
Well, the office.
Before you went up to N61,
yeah.
And it was pretty quiet. They didn't have any strikes during the 50s or anything like that.
No.
Okay. So there wasn't real much, I mean, besides paying your dues and maybe going to a meeting or something, there wasn't much going on with that.
No. I belonged to the union for a few years there, and the only thing that I ever accomplished by belonging to the union was that I made all the insurance companies a lot richer.
Because of all the funds that they had, that you paid into?
Oh.
We carried, supposedly so, we carried $10,000 insurance policies. Well, the day I retired, that $10,000 insurance policy went down to $750.
Oh, really?
I scratched my head off about it.
That's terrible.
Well, if you want to keep it up, you can keep it up.
You have to keep paying in.
I'd have to pay the premium myself. Well, here I am, 62 years old. $10,000 policy, I'd have had to take money, extra money besides my pension that I got, in order to pay the cop and take an insurance.
My gosh, $10,000 to $750.
Yeah.
It just staggers my mind. Oh, dear.
I think there's just a couple more things that I have. Um, when I was mentioning before about the clubhouse and the activities, they also had sports things, like teams, the Rio had teams, like a baseball team, and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do any of those things?
No.
Or you just, did you watch them? Go see, no, you didn't participate in that? Okay. Because some of the guys we talked to did, and some of them did.
No, they had bowling teams, and
bowling,
they had softball teams,
right.
And all this and that.
Right. But you didn't participate too
no.
much?
No.
Was it mostly for the younger guys?
Not necessarily. Okay. Maybe some of the older elderly, not older.
Uh-huh.
And the young ones, and they want to play softball and baseball and a lot.
You're too busy doing other things, huh?
I'm too busy doing other things.
Right.
And then later on, you had a family to go home to, so.
Did your wife continue to work at Fisher Body after you were married, or did she stop working there?
She continued working.
She did?
She got her first child married, and she,
Okay.
Oh, let's see, about 6 months, I guess, or something like that, and she went back to work.
At Fisher?
Oh,
how come she didn't come to Rio? She didn't want him?
She had seniority at Fisher Body.
She had seniority there, right. And she stayed there?
Stayed there until, I think, 66.
Oh, my.
Oh, she worked
there. She worked there a long time.
20-something years.
She just left a few years before you quit, so you...
Yeah, well, she took sick leave. I think it was 66, and then she officially retired in 67.
Mm-hmm.
She had to be on sick leave for a year.
Oh, I see.
And, my wife is afflicted with arthritis.
Oh. Brought on by her job, do you think? Did she have to do something very physical?
No, I don't know. Her knees,
mm-hmm.
She's had both knees replaced.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. And none of this arthritis, but I mean,
just takes over.
That's right.
Yeah, it just comes to some people.
Everybody asked me how she is, and I said, well, for words or leave her alone, she'd be all right. So, but we get along pretty good.
What'd she do at Fisher Body? What did she work at there? Did she have a lot of different jobs or?
Well, she worked in the cushion room.
Cushion room?
Oh, stitching the cushions or stuffing them or something?
I don't know.
You don't know what to talk about. So she took care of the house and the kids and everything and did that job too?
Well, we had a house.
Oh, you had somebody to help you at home. That's still a lot. Else, Shirley?
No, I can't think of anything.
See, you didn't think you had anything to say, but we managed to talk for a while.
Thank you very much for
utility games, and they put me on washing bodies before they went into the drying oven for paint. And I guess I worked about an hour, and I was just like a drowned rat. Soaking wet from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And they had a big old boy that had been on that job for quite a while. And right down the center of that thing, it just looked like somebody took a pen or a pencil and draw the center line there.
Mm-hmm.
He washed one side and I was on the other side.
Oh.
If he didn't wash that far over that.
Oh, is that right over where your line started?
He would, no way.
So you weren't working together.
That's right.
He was just doing his
and
job,
I
and that was all.
I was working my fanny off, and as I said, I was like a drowned rat. And got right up just before going into the oven anymore, and I've been chasing it through the oven. Washed him up and said, well, you gotta get back down the line. He says, skip a couple. Okay, I'll skip a couple. Pretty soon, he come back up again. He says, you gotta get them cleaner. He says, you aren't getting clean enough. And I said, look, I'm doing the best I can possibly do. If you you don't like it, you know what you can do. So, the next day, they put me on something else, see. And of course, that boss could have fired me right then and there, and I could hold him back. So, let's see, what, I think it was 9 days before you fill in seniority.
Mm-hmm.
I think I worked 85 days, something like that. Laid me off.
Oh, they laid you off.
Sure. So you didn't accumulate seniority.
So you didn't accumulate. And if you hired back, started again, you'd have to start from the bottom and work back up to 90 days ago. Oh, my. This was at the Fisher Body.
Yeah.
But you said you thought that Rio was a better place to work. Were you weren't treated in that same way at Rio?
Well, yes. No, you weren't treated the way I was treated there at Fisher Body.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody seen that you were trying and you were behind, you were having problems, they'd step in and help you.
Oh.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And I presume that Fisher Body, I know a lot of people are doing the same thing.
Only you didn't.
Only I just didn't get one. I didn't get one that did.
I don't know. We've heard that same thing from a lot of other men that worked there, that there was some cooperation.
At the Rio.
Yes, at the Rio.
Yeah.
And the feel of, like you said before, it's a family, you know, and we're in this thing together.
Yeah, if I'd have had to make a choice, I would have taken Rio or I would have Fisher Body.
Mm-hmm. Some of the people also felt proud about the product, too. They thought the Rio stuff, the stuff coming out of Rio was better. And much more attention was paid to it.
The truck drivers in the country would tell you that the Rio truck was the king of the road.
Hmm.
In other words, it was the best truck on the road.
So you felt like you were contributing to something worthwhile?
And I think the majority of the people made it that way was proud of it, that they, you know, that they had a part of it, something like that, see. So.
It's going to reflect in your job, too. If you're feeling good about what you're helping to produce, you're going to maybe do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody told us that worked in the office that when Rio went down, when it went bankrupt, that there were still a lot of standing orders for those trucks. That people still wanted those trucks, so that bears out what you're saying.
I guess there was.
And there were a few trucks left on the line, and everybody that wanted them was kind of scrambling to get them.
They sold those off. Some people had individual orders, some of the movie actors and stuff came in from Hollywood or California, bought trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Come in and
see the plant.
See
yeah.
the plant and see them assembled and so on and so forth. See, and, quite a few of them done that. So they're all well satisfied.
Mm.
Too bad, that's all it was that they...
And plus it was a Lansing business, you know, it was at least until the end.
When we're talking about this thing going bankrupt, I always thought that if the business people, the way I always understood it was that the business people wouldn't get behind it financially on account of the higher echelon in the plant.
Mm-hmm. The Lansing business people, you're saying, wouldn't get behind it and help save it?
Because there was too many people taking too much stuff out the back door. Mm-hmm. But I think that if they would have took a bunch of them and picked out the ones they wanted and set them down on the table and just had a good old conversation about this thing, it would have never went bankrupt. And they could have laid, what I mean, they could have laid the law down to a group of people that were trying to operate the plant and tell them what they would expect from them and so on and so forth. I've always thought that it would get going.
Yeah. It's a shame that that didn't happen. It would still be part of the Lansing scene.
It would have
scene.
Saved about 2,500 jobs. Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe by now it would have even been enlarged and there'd be more people working. You know, if those trucks continued to be the quality that they were, there would certainly be lots of orders for them.
At one time they were talking about building a new plant.
Oh.
And there was a lot of rumor that they was going to build a plant way out west of town. You know where Don's truck stop is out
yes.
there?
Yes, yes I do.
Well,
out on 69.
In that vicinity out there, they were going to build a new plant out there. But that all fell through, so...
Mm-hmm. Did you know any of the men that went from the Rio and started the Spartan Motors in Charlotte?
Yeah. Engineers and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
We went out and visited there. We went out to visit Spartan
No,
Motors.
I remember...
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I knew those fellas and I've seen them and they've invited me to come over there. And
we both went.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you
we
should go if you get a chance. It's very impressive.
And I just never, you know,
never went.
Maybe I'll go right to Charlotte, see.
Mm-hmm.
But here not too long ago, I was talking with one of the fellas that worked at Rio that went over there. And he told me that one of them that went over there and just sold his stock.
Yes. And made a lot of money, I'll bet.
$160,000.
What was it? Would they say the stock was $1.25 a share in the beginning? And I said, oh my gosh.
I just got this thing from Business Week. A friend sent me that listed Spartan Motors. This is from Business Week magazine. That Spartan Motors is one of the 40 best small companies in America.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? There it is right there. Listed with all these others.
Yeah.
See, this is the name of the article.
So
the best small companies.
Yeah. Yeah. I know they're ranking right up there high.
Yeah, very high.
They're building, they're getting ready to build another addition on, and they've already got, what, four or five buildings?
But this fellow I was talking to a little while back, he was telling me, well, he said that he got $160,000 profit. I said, well, Zeke, why don't you sell yours? Well, he said, damn it, he says, I did, but I sold it too quick.
Oh, I should have held on to it.
Oh, doesn't it make you sick?